introduce a fellow son of the American Revolution, Reverend Garrett Lear.
I will have no other king but King Jesus. Now, where would I get such a bold statement from? From the Bible. And our founding fathers knew and believed these scriptures that I'm about to share with you this afternoon. For example, in Isaiah, in the Old Testament, chapter 33, verse 22, it said, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us." They were also very familiar with a passage of scripture in the book of Acts, in the 5th chapter, at verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." They also were familiar with the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, in the 11th chapter, at verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And not certainly exclusively so, but the last of the scriptures that I'll read to you today, from Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." At the signing of the Declaration of American Independence, Samuel Adams said, "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom men alone ought to be obedient. From the rising to the setting of the sun, may his kingdom come." When he said that, 98.8% of America professed to be Christians. Now, why am I here today? Like many of you, I suppose there are a number of other places that we could be. And as much as I enjoy Boston at Christmas time, it's hard to park down here and all the different problems that you face. But one of the reasons that I'm here today is because I have 388 years of ancestry right down the road from this place. Ancestors who stood in this very hall and spoke many of the things that I'm speaking to you today. Also because I believe in who and what they believed in. Also because I will fight for who and what they fought for, because I'm also known as the Patriot Pastor, which is a 21st century expression of the Black Robe Regiment of the War for American Independence. And last and most importantly, I'm here today because I plan on invoking the blessing of Almighty God on our endeavors today. As Benjamin Franklin said in the Constitutional Convention of 1787, he said, "I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of man. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Now, who were these original black-robed regiment, or the Black Regiment? And by the way, they were first called that, not far from here, by a British sympathizer. How many of you know what a British sympathizer was in those days?
Tory.
A Tory.
Loyalist.
A loyalist. Thank you. And a traitor.
Yeah.
Yes. Peter Oliver called them the Black Road Regiment. King George III considered them so dangerous, more than any regiment of soldiers, so dangerous to his tyrannical plans, that he offered a handsome bounty for their deaths, and some were taken. For their families, for their homes, and their libraries were burned. He didn't like them reading certain things, like scripture, and I'll mention that in a few moments. He didn't like them reading certain books like Lex Rex, and Julius Brutus, and a variety of others that they were well schooled in. And by the way, the respect that the British had for our churches, the first Old North Church, not far down the street, was taken apart by the British in 1775 and burned for firewood. That's what they thought of our colonial churches. And what was their crime? Preaching without a license from the king. Now, so influential were the preaching of these pastors that Prime Minister at the time, Horace Walpole, told King George, "Cousin America has run off with a Presbyterian parson." In this very area, two of my favorites, who I've certainly learned so much from in reading their writings, and incidentally, one of my ancestors was in the publishing business, and they published Thomas Paine's Common Sense. They also published a lot of the sermons of the Patriot pastors. The first one I'd like to mention to you today from just down the road was Jonathan Mayhew, who preached a message on May 23rd, 1766, entitled "The Snare Broken," coming from Psalm chapter 124, verse 7 and verse 8, commemorating the repeal of the Stamp Act, which he had led in vigorous opposition to. Now, we might stop for just a moment and think, you mean that a pastor spoke from his pulpit against the Stamp Act? I mean exactly to say that, because that's exactly the historical fact. That's what happened. And as a result of his preaching and those that he influenced, the Stamp Act was repealed. Think about that in relationship to where we are today. Now, the quintessential example of the colonial Carricks, and the word Carricks means basically a herald, in this case, a herald of the true king, is Jonas Clark. Jonas Clark was the village parson, one of those Black Robe regiment from the town where I was born, Lexington. The Lexington. All the other Lexingtons are just imitations. Jonas Clark was the pastor there for 55 years. What many people don't know in history, first of all, anybody that's ever been in clergy knows being 55 years a pastor is an amazing feat in itself. Takes the miraculous hand of God for that, particularly considering that he was pastor for about half of that before the war and about half of that afterwards. But he trained the men of his congregation to fight against tyranny. In fact, two of the people who were most influenced by the preaching of Jonas Clark and also Jonathan Mayhew, just to name a few, there were others that I might mention briefly, but two who were most influenced were John Hancock and Samuel Adams. And when they were at the pastor's house the night before the Battle of Lexington, which would have meant April 18, 1775, Hancock asked and Samuel Adams asked the pastor, Jonas Clark, "Well, if it turns out to be war," and they were saying it certainly looked like it would be, he said, "Will your people fight?" And the pastor, without any equivocation, without stopping to even catch his breath, he said, "Of course they will. I've trained them to." He stood with them on the village green, April 19, 1775, early in the morning at 5:30, and he delivered a rousing message, basically the theme of, coming from Judges chapter 6 and chapter 7. I commend it to you at a later date to read it, about a Gideon's army, and basically the message was this: quit ye like men. We certainly need that today, as the first chapter of Joshua says, be of good courage four times. And what he was believing and what he taught, that resistance to tyranny, and please listen to this carefully, resistance to tyranny he considered to be obedience to God. For as free men and Christians to fight... For Christians and free men to fight for their birthright of liberty and the altars of their religion on that glorious day and bloody day of April 1775, and I had an ancestor that was there, Jedediah Learned. It was a bloody day. And what Jonas Clark said from that day forward, he said, from this day will be remembered the liberty of the world. And I want to just read the cover to his sermon commemorating that day, which would have been April 19th, 1776. The fate of bloodthirsty oppressors and God's tender care of his distressed people. Oh Lord, let it be. A sermon preached at Lexington, April 19, 1776, to commemorate the murder, bloodshed, and commencement of hostilities between Great Britain and America in that town, under the command of Lieutenant Colonel Smith on the 19th of April, 1775, to which is added a brief narrative of the principal transactions of that day by Jonas Clark, pastor of the church in Lexington. Those things that the Lord hate: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. That was very popular, and it was printed very liberally for people to read. It's also kind of an interesting God incident, you might say, somewhat on the similar aspect of John Adams and Thomas Jefferson departing this life in a ripe old age on the 4th of July. Jonas Clark died when he was 76 years old. I call that a God incident because from the Lexington pulpit, basically, was caused the first blow to be struck for American independence. I mentioned some of the other pastors of the Black Robe Regiment, and not all the pastors of the day were, only the ones who refused to take a license to preach from King George III, and one of them was Samuel West. He preached a sermon on the right to rebel against governors, a sermon preached before the Honorable Council and the Honorable House of Representatives of the Colony of Massachusetts Bay, May 29th, 1776. And incidentally, if you don't have your dates correct, that was before the signing of the Declaration of American Independence that such a message was preached. What would it be today? And for those many people, and as I travel the country, I hear many people with their different notions. I prefer not to give you opinions. I try to be a good historian and delve for the facts. This is a facsimile of the cover of the Atkin Bible. The Atkin Bible was printed by Robert Atkin. It is the first English translation of the Bible printed in my beloved America. It's 4 inches by 6 inches in size. And do you know why? And by the way, it was paid for. It's called the Bible of the Revolution. They put it on the cover. It was paid for by an act of Congress. Go figure. 4 by 6, why? So it could fit in the pocket of all the soldiers fighting for the colonies. Think about that. That's what was believed in those days, that all the soldiers should be able to have a Bible to put in their pocket. And of course, the King of England decided that there should be no Bibles coming into the colonies because those colonists are reading the Word of God and they're rebelling against me, a divine right king. Divine right kings were not believed by most people to be the way of government in America in those days, except by the Tories, except by the Loyalists. Now, I'm sure most of you know that Tuesday is actually the calendar date of the Boston Tea Party, and they were on the Julian calendar by then. December 16th, 1773. And a point I want to make to you is many of you thought today was a little bit cold. Yesterday was cold, we had ice storms. Well, those patriots went ahead and they were there even though it was cold. I also want to mention to you, for those that are history buffs, in this very vicinity are three of Boston's most important burying grounds. Very close here to Faneuil Hall. The Granary, King's Chapel, and Copp's Hill. Some of the greatest people of America are buried in those places, and I have no doubt in my mind, if it were possible for us to bring them to stand here at this pulpit and platform today, that they would say, "What have you done with what we fought for?" Now, many might say, "Well, how do you know that?" By reading the things that they have written. And of course, as Scripture tells us in Matthew 7:16-20, know them by the fruit they bear. You can read their headstones. Many of their headstones tell the story. We can't speak to the dead. Of course we can't. But we can certainly read what they have written. And when we read what they had written and what they did, and know their original intent, and may I say to you what they would have said, "Hello, posterity. You are their posterity. What have you done with the blessings of liberty that they fought and died for?" I believe they'd be flat out appalled. So to our own peril, do we forget what they knew? To our own demise, do we ignore what they prayed for, what they paid for, yes, and even what they played for, what they lived and, yes, for some, died for? To our impoverishment, and I certainly mean nothing ambiguous by using that term, to our very sad loss, do we fail at what they considered the cause of mankind? And yes, that's what Jonas Clark thought on the battleground in Lexington. And interestingly enough, if you stand on that green, which I have many times, you will find people come from all over the world thinking that they're coming to the cradle of American liberty, of which this is, only to find out that Americans mostly do not know anymore what these liberties are, who paid for them, and why today we continually need to secure them, because they're endowed by our Creator. That was the shot heard round the world. And you know, today, from that historic place, for those who love freedom and liberty, and I'm one of those, here in the cradle of American liberty, who amongst us today is willing to pay what they paid? Who amongst us today is willing to pledge and to keep that pledge that our founders made? See, some 43 months after the Boston Tea Party, we have the Declaration of American Independence. And at the end of that, they said, "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." The Minuteman oath was, "We trust in God that should the state of our affairs require it, we shall be ready to sacrifice our estates and everything dear in life, yea, and life itself, to support or in the support of the common cause." Have you ever heard the song, "Faith of Our Fathers"? "Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Will you bow your heads and your hearts with me this afternoon as we pray? Almighty God, our Father, you have given us life and you have endowed us as our Creator with certain inalienable rights. I cannot speak for these that are here today, but I speak for myself and say, I will not give up those rights that you endowed me with, and I will not give up those rights that my ancestors have fought and died for. I am thankful to live in a country where, for this moment, we can stand here in this almost sacred place and state the things that we believe. Let it be a change and a restoration to this republic. Let it happen now, not later. And let it happen because you have helped us as you have helped those in the past. And I pray as I know how to pray, in your name, in Christ's name, amen and amen. And I say, God save America, God save the republic, and someone has stolen my country, and I want her back.